Welcome to the Joplin and Andrea podcast, where we discuss all things faith, family, and fun. I'm Andrea Emberson, here with my co-host and husband, Joplin.
Welcome to our show. We got a big show lined out for you guys today. We're going to be talking about the creation of community and the fact that God made you for people and people for you. We need a team of people around us, and we're going to talk about the many ways that community is important in our lives. I'm going to take a moment at the start of our second half to talk about forgiveness. One of our writers wrote in and asked a question about forgiveness, and I think we're going to finish talking about vacations. It's that time of year everybody starts thinking about vacation, and about right now that's all we can do is just think about it until they tell us we can travel. But we are going to talk about those things today. Let's get started with community. This is a really big deal to me. I personally, in my own life, I look back at where my faith started, and I was 20 years old when God saved me and had to leave a lifestyle of just really wickedness, and I didn't know anybody, and God brought this team of people around me to help me get started. And I can look back at the last 20 years and see over and over and over again how God designed us as people to need one another. He designed us to have community. And so here on the front end of our podcast today, that's what we're going to talk about, is the fact that you need people, people need you, and why. And so, Andrea, I'm going to throw our first question to you on the needing a community, needing a team around you. When you think about the importance of community and team in your life, when you look back at our life over the last 20 years, and who knows, maybe we even talk about the wrong team and the wrong community, which both of us had for several years before coming to know the Lord. How important do you see community and having the right team of people around you?
Yeah, I actually love this topic because I love people.
Yes,
and
you do.
So people are very important to me, and it's very important you have the right people. So, you know, you had mentioned when we had very first gotten saved, you know, there was a lot of people that we had in our lives. And specifically in mine, I wouldn't necessarily say they were bad people. They were just doing bad things, and I was involved in those bad things. And so it is important to have the right people doing the right things in your life. And I have, just from years to the different years, had different sets of people in our lives. But, you know, when we very first got saved, we had helped launch a young adult ministry. And I think that that was one of the most important people that could have ever been in my life, because it was helping me build my faith, and it was helping me understand the Bible better, and it was helping me understand what you know, true friendship looked like. And that didn't mean we had to be identical in what we did. It just meant that friend was a friend that was there no matter what. And so we have a lot of those friends that we still stay in communication with, but they're not necessarily an active part of our life right now, but they're very, very, very helpful. And, you know, there's been different points in my life where I felt like I haven't had a very big community of people. And so I've had to pray and ask God. And it's really cool how through life, God's put those specific people in my life at the time that I needed them. And some have stayed and some have gone, but it's really important. Those people have helped me to be who I am, helped me to lift me up and encourage me, and I can do likewise. And right now, maybe I'm jumping ahead of things, but I even look at the community of believers we have at the church, and it's just so awesome because we have such a unique community of people that no two people are alike. They're all striving after the same purpose, but we're there for each other, and we need that. And so that's what comes to my mind right off the bat, just talking about community. What about you? What about the community that you know, God's placed in your life throughout the years?
The topic of community is important in my life because I didn't actually have a very good community growing up. And when I say that, I don't mean good people. Mm-hmm. I just mean I didn't actually have one. And right. I was kind of a loner. I was the type of person that could fit in any crowd. was fairly popular even in high school and through school. But the more, as I got 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, it felt like I had a bunch of people around me, but I wasn't actually connected to anybody. I didn't have anybody to help me get where I wanted to go. In a lot of ways, I felt very alone, and I kind of learned to live that way. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's actually taken time for me to, number one, see the need for community. And that's what we wanted to talk about today. It is a need. God created us to need people. God did not design us to do what we do alone. And I lived that way for quite a while. Even after becoming saved, there were people in my life that helped me to a degree, but I didn't recognize how much I needed these people. And so I think probably the most important piece of community is that because God designed us to need it, we can't accomplish everything He's called us to accomplish on our own.
Yeah.
And that's obviously true. We can't do anything without Him. But He designed the way His process works, the way God designed us, in order for us to accomplish His will for our life, it will require that we have Christian brothers and sisters, the right people built around us. And so when you think about, you know, the people that God's put around your life to help you, can you give any examples? I don't know if, you know, you're able to use names or not, but can you give examples of maybe good times, bad times, whatever, that you Sure. got through because of the community and the people that you were connected to and that were connected to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. There's a different community of people, it seems like, for each spot in life. And I have a couple, a married couple that we know really well, that winds up helping me a lot just when I get in a spot that I'm just stuck. I don't understand what's going on. I need extra prayer, or I just need to talk through something. And so that particular couple has been very, very helpful for me, just on those rare occasions that I just can't get past something and I need some help. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God's placed those people in my life, because most of the time I can go chat with them for a few minutes and leave feeling like an entirely, you know, entirely different than I went in. And so it's very important. And then there's those people that we have on our team, I have on my team, that I can just ask questions to, that we can work alongside, and I know her motives are my motives, and we can just encourage each other, because we know that the day is rough sometimes, and we know that sometimes we get things that are unexpected, and then sometimes there's things that are just so joyful that you just want to share those moments with them too. And there's actually several people at the church that I work with very closely that that are part of that team that help build me and help make me. And I try to do the same for them. I try to help build them. And we all go through different things in life at different times. And I think God does that intentionally, so that when they have a need, I can be the strong person. And when I have a need, they can be the strong person. And so, yeah, there's several different ladies that I would say are very close and there for just that reason. I'd like to say God just put those people on my path.
So, amen.
Yeah.
I know when I think about the teams that God's put in my life and placed me on, you know, they're all, like you said, different times, different seasons, different people. I have a team of pastors that I kind of confide in, and vice versa when we need help and need prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, the first team that I think is most important, if you think about, and this is what I really want to communicate today, this is God's design. And the first team is the team of family. And one of the reasons that our culture is so broken is the family unit has ceased to be a family team. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's people living in the same roof, a husband and wife living under the same roof, but they're very distant. A lot of times it's a father that, you know, he's home, but he's not home. You know, he's not engaged. He's not spending time with the children. And when we look at the way God designed the family, that should be our first team. And if you're listening and the truth is that's not a great team for you, listen, don't be discouraged, but know that you need to get the right people around you because God created you to need people and people to need you. Yeah. And you may have to find a group of close friends, you know, people within your local community of believers that help serve that role. That said, when we look at God's design, the first team that he created us to be on is the team of family. Yeah, I think about Jesus, and we have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, family unit, if you will, even within the Godhead. I look at his ministry on earth, and Jesus, when he starts his ministry, he calls his disciples, and he's got this group. He's got this team of people that are working with him and that he teaches and that empowers. And then I think about our church. I just recently had a conversation with somebody about our church, and it's no secret. Our ministry's been very successful. We launched it from the ground up in 2006. It's a growing church. We've had to go to multiple services. We have seen literally hundreds of people turn to the Lord in faith. You know, we've got international missions in several different countries. It's a very successful ministry, but here's the truth. You look at everything that we're doing, and you and I do very little of it. Mm-hmm. We're constantly going, but I mean, if you look at the sheer ministry workload that happens at the Well Worship Center, that which Andrea and Joplin do is a very small portion of it. And the reason that we have been so successful is because we have a team of rock stars.
Yeah.
And when I say rock stars, I don't mean like Hollywood rock stars where you're going to know their names. I mean heavenly rock stars in people that work their tail off. They don't have to have, you know, their name in the lights. They don't have to be acknowledged in front of the multitudes for what they do. They just want to help spread the gospel. They want to get involved in what God is doing. And our team is incredible, and we accomplish more and we do more when we bring the body of Christ together as a community. And so it's been a joy being part of such an amazing team at the Well Worship Center. And yes. Man, I just want people to know that God created you to be part of a community. And so the last portion of this, I think, that we want to discuss on this side of the break is how do you develop that community? So I'm going to throw this to my wife, but I want to preface it with this. We live in a day when you can have 4,000, 5,000 Facebook friends, mm-hmm. 800 Facebook friends, 200 Facebook friends, and yet feel like you don't have more than two or three friends in the world. And some people listening might say they don't even feel like they have one.
Right.
And there is this kind of fake us that people see through the lens of social media. And then there's the true, real us. And it feels like we're the true, real us is growing further and further away from true, real community. How do we break through that? What are some things our listeners can do intentionally to break through that and be part of a community and understand God designed them for it? People need them. They need people. How do we make this happen?
The first thing that I would say is prayer. And I mentioned this earlier, but there's been points in my life before we had kids, after we've had kids, where I have just felt alone. Social media are not involved. I felt alone. There was just, you know, you go through different seasons in life, and sometimes you can connect with this person better because of where you're at. And sometimes you can connect with those, but you kind of find yourself at the in-between stage sometimes too, where you're just not in this area where those people are constantly doing stuff. And you don't really feel like you're in this area yet either. And so I would just encourage our listeners to pray. And there has been, I could say, two, if not three specific times that God has answered my prayers with friendships. And for instance, I'll share this testimony. When we had first got married, we had started this young adult group, and I loved it. And I was connecting with a lot of those people, and I needed that. But I really needed somebody that I could just talk to, that would be really close with, and that I could call around those things. And I thought one day I was calling one of my friends that was in college, and she wasn't there. And so she didn't answer the phone, but her roommate did. And I happened to know her roommate really, really well. And we were good friends in high school, but hadn't talked for several years since then. And she answered the phone. Well, God actually wanted me to call to talk to the friend. And so it was really cool. Her name was Ashley. Her name is Ashley. And it was neat because I needed Ashley in my life at that point. And so God had connected us, and I'm just telling you, that friendship just went from there, and it was his timing and exactly what I needed. So first of all, I would just encourage people to pray, because God can do things we can't. I mean, look at that testimony right there. And then encourage you to get out and do things. You have to be looking for it. You have to be taking action yourself. And so if you're not involved in a local body of, you know, church, get involved. And, you know, if you're a young adult and you are feeling like you're all alone, because that seems to be a really big spot where the transition is, you're just not sure. You're not quite an adult yet, but you're also not a teen anymore. Get involved in a group where young adults do ministry. I know it'll be uncomfortable, and it probably, you might even have feelings of resistance that you just don't even want to go, but it is important. And those steps that you need to take to get in those places could be life-changing for you. So secondly, I just encourage people to take action and do what you can to get involved in whatever it is. So that's what I would say. And also, our kids need it. I notice even with our kids that they need it. And so mamas and daddies out there, you know, it's important that your kids are being fed with friendships and healthy friendships. And there's so many bad examples out there everywhere they go, everything they're involved in. Make sure that they are getting those positive ones. So take action. And that's what I'd say. What about you? What would your suggestion be?
I really wouldn't add anything to that. I think it's the exact right answer. I agree 100%. If you know, I would reiterate the two points. Number one, pray. You know, you need to see that God created you for this and believe it, and know that when you ask God for community in your life and help you get connected to the right people, the right team, the right community, believe with all your heart that it's God's desire, it's God's design, and expect him to answer that. And so we want to, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but we want to invite God into that process and make sure mm-hmm. that it helps us get connected with the right people. And then secondly, you know, you just mentioned get involved. I think sometimes we have to get vulnerable. You know, you get so used to not inviting yourself over or inviting people over, and everybody thinks, oh, everybody's so busy. Well, there comes a time we got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, we're desperate for a community.
Yes.
It's not just going to come and hit us in the face. You know, you've got to be willing to put yourself out there, tell somebody, listen, I need to build some stronger relationships in my life that grow to a place of accountability where we love each other, we care for each other, we expect one another to care and to be involved. Yeah. And sometimes you just have to take that step of communicating that. Mm-hmm. Do what you can, do your part to get involved, pray and ask God to help. And I've just watched it happen over and over again. Those that truly seek it, truly desire it, God will find a way some way or another to get you involved. And here's the last thing I'm going to say is that be willing to let the road lead where God leads it. You know, some people don't want community because they don't want accountability. Uh-huh. And I've seen a lot of people over the years say, they act or feel rejected, but if you really let yourself get honest with yourself, sometimes we just don't want people actually holding us accountable.
Right.
And, but that's what part of the community is for. And so, be willing to let the road lead where it leads. And so, yeah. All right. Hey, we're going to stop there for this side of our podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I'm going to be answering a question about forgiveness this question relates to parents and some difficult situations that we are in with family sometimes, with people that hurt us and wound us. And we're going to finish with something fun about vacation. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey guys, this is Joplin, and I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to check out our new website, joplinandandrea.com. It's much more than just a landing site for our podcast. In addition to all of our podcasts, you're going to find weekly devotions that I send out every Monday. You're going to find upcoming events, including the Israel tour, for example. We are doing a tour in Israel in March of 2022, and you can find everything you need to know about that at our website. Also, if you would, please let us know what you want us to be talking about. What are some topics you would love to hear Andrea and I discuss on air? Maybe a question that you would like me to answer during the Q&A portion of our podcast. The ability to contact us and reach us and send your info to us. Let us know what you want to hear, what your questions are. All of it can be done at joplinandandrea.com. When you get a free minute, check it out.
Welcome back to the second half of our podcast. We are getting ready to discuss a question that came in from one of our listeners. This listener would like to remain anonymous, but here's the question. I understand that it is important to honor your father and mother at all the time, even though you may not always agree with what they're doing. And I understand that honoring them means respecting them. Is forgiveness part of the respect that we are supposed to show them? Is forgiveness something we owe the other person? Joplin, what do you have to say about forgiveness in this?
It's a difficult question to answer. First of all, no. Forgiveness is not part of the respect that we are to show our parents. And no, forgiveness is not something that we owe to the other person. Now, before you tune me out, I just want to biblically talk about what forgiveness is. So the reason I say no, first of all, that forgiveness is not something that we're supposed to show to our parents or part of the respect that we are to give to our parents, is because forgiveness is something we're supposed to show to everyone. And so it's not just parents. And for that reason, when we have this special command to honor our parents, to respect our parents, I don't think somehow forgiveness is tucked into that, or so there's some special part there, because forgiveness is supposed to be towards everyone. Jesus said, if anyone, basically asks for forgiveness, whether it's 7 times 70 in a day, that you are to forgive. And so forgiveness should be for everyone. The special respect to our parents is something that is special or relative to them. And so my point in that is because there is this special command to our parents, I think that it goes above the general, forgiveness to everybody. So when I say no, forgiveness is not part of that respect, I'm not saying we shouldn't forgive our parents. I'm just saying this command on our parents goes so much deeper and so much further than that. So let's talk about that a little bit. Also, why I say no, we don't owe it to our parents, is because you don't owe forgiveness to anybody, in that forgiveness is when we relieve somebody of the debt of owing us. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if you owe me $100, forgiveness says, I'm going to release the debt. You don't owe it to me anymore. Do I owe you that? No. That's what forgiveness is. It's releasing somebody else of what they owe. Mm-hmm. And it's a choice. I mean, does God owe us forgiveness? No, it's a choice. And this is why, though, when we are forgiven, we should forgive others. And so the way that the question was kind of asked was, is this something that we're responsible for, and does it apply to our parents? Now, the reason that this is left anonymous is because I actually know this situation I personally know the person that asked this. And because of that, I understand a little bit better the heart behind the question. And so I want to share with our listeners a little bit of the heart behind it so I can answer this question better.
Sure.
All right. The heart behind it is this. If you have a parent that does something hurtful, something wrong, You could even argue something evil. The parent has no remorse. The parent has never actually acknowledged any guilt. This is where this question is coming from. The question is, because I know I'm commanded to honor my parents, does that also require that I forgive them? And so I think that might help a little bit understand really where this question is coming from, and I want to speak to that.
Sure.
And first of all, yes, you need to forgive your parents. But here's what's really important, because this is where the confusion happens. Some people think that forgiveness equals reconciliation, and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people who have truly forgiven, but they don't want to be around the person. And then they feel like, well, maybe I haven't forgiven the person. That's just not true. Maybe you haven't. But if, you know, I'm going to give a really terrible scenario here, but maybe you have a situation where somebody was abusive, whether it was verbally, physically, sexually. They've never acknowledged it. They act like it's never happened. They act like you've got no reason whatsoever to be hurt or ashamed or, you know, dealing with what you deal with. It's very possible to actually forgive that person and release the debt and be like, you know what? You don't owe me anything. I'm not going to go the rest of my life carrying this heavy burden like you owe me something. I'm releasing it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that there's going to be reconciliation until the other person comes along and says, acknowledges what they've done, asks for sincere forgiveness, has a sense of humility and brokenness over what they've done. If that doesn't occur, no, you're not going to want to hang out with the person. No, you're not going to feel like we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not necessarily in and of itself mean you haven't taken the step to forgive and say, listen, you don't owe me anything. And so a lot of times people will get to that place where they move on with their life, they forgive, and then they start feeling guilty. Like, well, I don't really want to be around this person. And every time I'm around them and they act the same way they always did, it makes, you know, gives me the heebie-jeebies. Well, maybe I'm a bad person. Maybe I didn't really forgive. And I would say that's not the case. There's a difference between reconciliation and forgiveness. And while we owe everybody forgiveness, it's not possible to be reconciled with people who won't acknowledge their need for forgiveness, acknowledge what they've done wrong, repent of their wrong living, and ask for forgiveness. And so I think it's really important for people that are kind of in those situations to learn to differentiate between the two. Yes, you need to honor your parents. Yes, you need to forgive, just like you need to forgive everybody else. But don't mistake the fact that you can forgive and move on, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship itself is going to be healed. So I hope that helps. Hope that provides some context there. And just want to quickly say, if you got any questions you ever want to have us answer or topics you want us to discuss here on the Joplin and Andrea podcast, go to joplinandandrea.com and submit your question through our website. Submit maybe a topic you'd like us to talk about and discuss. We'd love to hear from you guys and want to be answering questions that you want to hear and talking about topics that are important to you. So we're going to move to our final topic of the day. We are talking about vacationing. As always, my wife picked our topic of fun today. Why'd you pick vacationing?
Because it's one of my favorites, and it's the time of year when all these kiddos are getting out of school, so you start thinking about it. And this year is a unique year for vacationing because of all the quarantine going on, but that doesn't still mean you can't do something. So I thought, why not talk about vacationing? Generally, right now, we are on our way to North Carolina. Joplin preaches at a youth retreat a lot of times, and we go and attend the youth retreat, spend time with a lot of friends and church family that we don't get to see very much, and then we take an extra week, and we stay in the mountains and get to go to all the creeks and play in the water and come back with nice suntans, so I thought, why not talk about
what's your favorite vacation?
Well, one of my favorite vacations we just took not too long ago, and that was actually just with he and I, and we got to go to Belize, and we went to the island, and we went with some friends. I love the beach, and I had always wanted to go just out on an island like that and spend time in the ocean. And so that was one of my favorite trips. I really like the waters and the beaches. You really like the like mountains, snow skiing type.
I don't mind the I actually love the waters and the beaches, but I like big waves that you can actually surf on. I'm like, we're going to go to the ocean. Let's go somewhere where, you know, there's sharks and there's a fear of getting eaten while you're out there and the adrenaline's pumping and you've got massive waves. And so I like the ocean. I do just wish when we went, we were able to go to places where we could get some serious surfing in.
Now, we did get to snorkel out there and you swam with sharks.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And that was awesome. And that was really cool. And I actually talked Andrea into jumping in with sharks.
Only because there was a sea turtle that I wanted to see.
There was a sea turtle. It was an awesome sea turtle. I'm surprised that was your favorite vacation. Not because it wasn't awesome, but because it was like the only time we've did one without our kids.
Well, I just meant with us. But with our kids, I would have to say we've did several. With ministry, we're able to like travel a little bit and go to several different places. I love North Carolina. Our family goes every year. And so that is one of my favorite vacation spots.
What is your worst vacation memory?
My worst vacation memory. Well, when we went in Joplin Preach in South Carolina, and we traveled on and went to Myrtle Beach. And there it was really, really windy at the beach one day, and Malachi got sand in his eye. And for the longest time, we couldn't figure out, you know, what was going on with his eye. And he ended up scratching his eye. And so I know I felt really, really awful just that he felt so lousy, and we ended up having to find an eye doctor there, and so that kind of wasn't fun. But there isn't like a big catastrophic this is it.
That was my worst too. That was my worst too.
We'd
never been to Myrtle Beach. Uh-huh. And so it was our first time. We got everybody there.
We're all excited.
And then Malachi was a trooper, but his eye's actually cut. It's got this cut on it and it's terribly painful, and so we felt terrible for him. And then in addition to that, we get it fixed, we go to the beach, and listen, we put on sunblock. We are not the non-sunblock family.
Yes, we did.
But whatever sunblock it was, it might as well have been tanning lotion.
Uh-huh.
Because instead of a blocking sun, we were all red as lobsters, and we had to travel home from there, and our oldest son was so burnt. We were all burnt, but our oldest son was so burnt, his skin was itching him. And so the whole ride home, he's crying and he's mad because his skin's itching, like all of us can do something about it. That was our Myrtle Beach trip, you know. It's supposed to be great in Myrtle Beach. And then this was funny. I mean, it was bad, but it was funny. When we were coming home early with our girls were both young, and we were coming home from a ski trip, which skiing is one of my favorites as well, things to do too. But we were coming home.
Snow skiing.
And both of our girls just got sick. They're probably
six
and four.
Too.
And they both throw up in the car and there's nowhere to pull over. It's snowing. All the windows are fogged up, you know. And
Mind you, we had this topper with all of our stuff on top of it. So all of their extra clothing is...
Yeah.
In the top, we had to pull over at Walmart and buy new clothes.
Yeah, and we probably had to drive 45 minutes to an hour to get through the mountains after they'd thrown up in the car, smelling like vomit. We took their clothes off, so they didn't have to sit and puke. But it was hilarious because after they threw up, they felt a lot better.
Uh-huh.
And they thought it was fun. And our littlest one, Hallie, she's kind of a monkey. I remember driving, looking in the rear view just to see how they're doing, and she is literally hanging upside down. She's only like 2 or 3 at this time, so she weighs, you know, 30 pounds off one of the handles that they have up in the ceiling. She's hanging upside down with her legs over her head like a monkey as we're going through these curves. And it's just a memory I will never forget. We did make it to Walmart. We cleaned up the puke. We got them new clothes and we made it home. So
yeah.
Oh, memories.
It's fun. Well, I wouldn't really say I have a favorite overall. I just love going. It doesn't matter where it is, and it doesn't even matter if we're spending 15 hours in the car, because we've did that multiple times too, but it's fun. It's just fun to get away and spend time together and enjoy enjoy the summer or whatever season it is you're going. So,
well, y'all are going to have to be creative this summer. Yes. The rules and what's open, what's not, make it kind of difficult. So, hey, if you got creative ideas, let us know.
Yeah.
Shoot us your plans for vacation this summer and see if, who knows, maybe we'll talk about them one of our next coming podcasts, and maybe it'll give us something to do because we don't know what we're going to do yet. Difficult to make plans with a family of six. So, it's going to be it for our podcast, guys. We love you. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.